Turn to the book of Judges in chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Let's start reading in verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, which pertained to Joash the Abarzite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and hath delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked on him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Let's bow and pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd bless your word today. Lord, we're gathered here together in your name, Lord, to honor and to glorify you. I pray, Lord, that your word would be honored, your name would be honored, and your purpose would be accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you go back and read, we didn't start at the beginning of the chapter, but you can go back some time and read back through the first part of chapter 6. And what you're going to find is you're going to find that the condition of these people was not... They weren't in very good shape. You find that the Midianites had pretty much oppressed these people for a while now. Not only Gideon and his family, but the nation around him. And you know, this is a pretty bad situation, because what the Midianites would come in and do is they would come in and in hordes, and they would burn their crops right before harvest time, so that the Israelites wouldn't have anything to eat. They would come in and conduct raids, and the Midianites pretty much acted at their own will. You know, there pretty much, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of opposition. There wasn't a lot of strength for the Israelites to be able to do a whole lot about it. And if you look, you're going to find out that the reason why this was happening the way it was because God was causing it to happen. He was allowing it to happen. He was actually judging Israel. And he went out and flat out told them so. He said, this is why this is happening to you. And so the question that was posed by Gideon in this matter, you know, seems like he should have probably known what was happening. But what I want to look at in this passage right here this morning for just a few minutes is actually three questions that Gideon had posed to the Lord. Three things that he wanted to know from God. And I thought that these were interesting questions to be asking of the Lord, and yet questions, you know, hindsight is 20/20, right? Sometimes we feel very self-righteous when we begin reading stories in the Bible, and we begin saying, you know, well, why did Gideon do that, you know? And then we look at our own behavior, and we find out we're just a whole lot like Gideon in a lot of ways. We might be able to say, well, you know, he should have known. He should have known exactly what was going on. Why did he even ask that God that question? But yet a lot of times we ask the same questions of the Lord, and we get into the same situations, and we get into the same attitudes. And so I think we can learn a lot from Gideon in his matter. He basically asked a simple question. The first one that he asked is, he said, why is all this befallen us? And so he questioned God's dealing with them. And then just in that very next verse, he asks another question. He says, and where are all his miracles? And so not only did he say, why is God doing this to us? Then he asked, where is God? Where is he? Where's the evidence that he exists and that he's fighting for us? And then in verse 15, he says, oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? This is what I call the who me question. When finally God gave him a solution and told him what he wanted him to do about it, then Gideon says, what? Who? Me? So I want to look at these three questions, and I think you'll see a little bit of yourself in them. Why has all this befallen us? You know, isn't that what we ask God a lot of times? Why is this happening to us? You know, you got to be careful asking that question because it can become borderline whining to absolutely outright whining. Why is this happening to us? I heard a lady say one time, why did I get the flu? Well, let me clue you in on a little something. Somebody sneezed on you. That's how you got the flu. Wasn't some great spiritual dilemma against you, you know? I tell you, there are some afflictions that you and I face that have nothing to do with some grand scheme, no wicked devil. It's the fact that we live here. You know, one time I had a flat tire. I didn't ask God. I said, man, what's going on? Why did I get this flat tire? You know that you run the risk of having a flat tire when you drive a car. It's not some great conspiracy against it. You just had a flat tire. Praise the Lord, I had a flat tire. The blessing was is that I had a spare tire and a jack. So no big deal, you know. You change the tire, you keep on going. I know some Christians that are looking at every little thing going on in their life and they're wondering, why is this happening? You know, to a certain extent, you have to get to the place where you're able to ride over some of the bumps without thinking that you're under attack from some devil or that God is judging you. Some things just happen. Hey, Christians get the flu. Christians get flat tires. Sometimes Christians get sick. Telling you, not everything is a judgment against us. And there's some things we have to simply say, thank you, Lord. Man, it could have been worse. It could have been better, regardless of how you want to look at it, how you want to justify it. Sometimes you just simply have to ride through some of the afflictions that we face and just do your best to have a good attitude in spite of it. And believe me, I'm not trying to make light of it, because there are some afflictions that are very difficult to ride through. I understand that. There are some things that life hands to us that are not as easy to absorb. But listen, we have a resource and we have a help in God. He says, when you're overwhelmed, when you're troubled, he says, take your requests, bring them to the Lord. Make your things known to God. And so we do. We have a resource with God. Why are all these things happening? But you know, it's not an outlandish question to ask, because sometimes there is a reason behind the things that are happening to you. As is the case with Gideon here. You know, there are some afflictions that come upon us because we believe in the Lord. You know, what does 1 Timothy say? He says, be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. There are some afflictions that come upon us simply because we're Christians, right? Simply because we believe in the Lord. There are some denominations, and I don't know, I guess they're Christian denominations. I'm not going to even name them. It doesn't really matter. But there are some Christian denominations, at least in name only, that have gone against God's Word and made decisions for their denomination that have nothing to do with obedience to the Bible, but have everything to do with bowing to the expectations and the pressures of society. For example, making homosexuals pastors. Now, come on, you know what the Bible says. The Bible says you find a man in sin, you rebuke him. If you find an elder in sin, you rebuke him before all that others also may fear. Just very simple. And yet, what have some people done is they have gone away from this. For what reason? In order to try to mitigate some of the affliction that comes as a result of the gospel. You know, you can say, Lord, and not offend society. You can say God, and not offend society. You can talk about higher power, you can talk about this, but there is something about the name of Jesus Christ that seems to really infuriate people. And they have a simple request of us. They've asked it of a young lady that was coming here for a long time. She was, I think Sharon was valedictorian of her class. Remember that? Some of you remember when she went and she wanted, all she wanted to do was thank Jesus Christ for helping her get to where she was. And they told her, no, you can't do it. Simplest thing to do would have been to just back off, right? So, well, I'll just say a generic name. I'll just say Lord, or I'll just say higher power. You know, I don't know about you, but I would rather suffer affliction from the world than to offend my God. And I'm not afraid of the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not, let me rephrase that, I'm not ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, He wasn't ashamed of me. He died on the cross for my sins. He suffered the shame and the rebuke and the torment. He could have at any time defended Himself, and yet He allowed Himself to be made a sacrifice for sins. Not even just the physical, but the fact that He took all of our wickedness, all of the vile, nasty, dirty stuff that's in our head, and He bore it upon Himself. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He was not ashamed to die for us. We shouldn't be ashamed to die for Him. That's why the Bible says, be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Now, so far, we've had a pretty good ride. At least in my Christian lifetime. No government entity has come to try to shut me down. Oh, they put a little pressure on us only because, you know, we're a 501c3 corporation according to the government, which means that we're nonprofit, which means you guys can give your offerings into that box over there and not be taxed. And so it's a nice perk to have. We enjoy it, right? Government's given it to us. But we don't need that to serve God. You see, tomorrow, if they say, okay, all your offerings are going to be taxed from this time forward, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to jump through the hoops. We're going to have to change our paperwork. We're going to have to send in our taxes. We're going to have to do whatever the government tells us to do. Hey, some of the things that we've enjoyed for a long time are things that Christians throughout history have never experienced. The approval and the protection of a government. So what if we lose that? What are we going to do? We going to change if they say, okay, you're going to have to stop preaching this, 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 and this, or we'll take away your tax-exempt status. I don't know, we can take a vote on it. You guys can tell me. But if it was my opinion, I think I'd let that tax-exempt status go. We don't need any special favors. Hey, we've learned from the guys down in Mexico, we don't need anything but a park bench and a tree. And there are public places, man. We can go meet in a public place. We don't need a building. We don't need protection from the government. The truth is there may come a time when we really begin to experience a lot more affliction because of the gospel's sake. I think, personally, we ought to be willing to bear it. We ought to be willing to take our side for the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever else happens, whatever other afflictions we have to go through. And now I know it's brave talk right now. You know, it's always easy. The way a soldier talks before he goes to battle is a lot different than after he comes back. I guarantee you march off to war and you got the flags flying and everybody's uniform is still clean and everybody's bones are still intact and everybody still has their health. And it's a lot different when we come back. I know, I understand. But God give us grace to take His name and to suffer whatever affliction for His name that we need to suffer. So yeah, sometimes we suffer affliction because of that. Why is all this befallen us? Some things are just because you live in this life. Some things are because you belong to Jesus Christ. And then there are other things that happen because of you. Why is all this befallen us? I had a guy that was really angry at me one time when I was talking to him on the street. And and you know, he just, you just don't understand my situation. You know, you don't understand this and that. And the man was about the same age as I was, but just totally broken. Life was ruined, everything like that. And he says, yeah, you know, he said, you've got your family. You know, you've got money in the bank. You've got this. And he was trying to use this against me, like I was supposed to say, okay, fine, yeah, okay. But that still doesn't solve your problem. And so he was really bitter and angry, and it was the hardest thing for me to do, to convince the man that the reason why he was where he was because of him. You see, he took a choice to take a drink. You know, I could feel sorry for him because he has, quote unquote, the disease alcoholism. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know about all that. I don't know about propensities and weaknesses and diseases and all that. But I can tell you one thing. I'm not a doctor, but I can guarantee that you will not be an alcoholic if you do one thing. Never take a drink. You never take a drink, you'll never become an alcoholic. I understand some people can drink whiskey and then stop cold turkey, but then there are other people that really get messed up because of it. It would be a very wise thing to do, to take a look at the afflictions and to decide, okay, is this coming from God? Is this just something from the world? Is this an affliction that I'm suffering? Or did I really mess up somewhere and this is happening because of me? You know, taking personal responsibility for what happens in your life is a real eye-opener. I can't blame all my problems on something else. Yeah, there may be factors, there may be indicators. The guy was complaining one time, I was talking to him, you know, about the fact that he couldn't ever really seem to get ahead. But he dropped out of high school, never made any attempt to try to educate himself in anything. And I asked, and he said, man, can you hire me? He said, man, I'm just broke and I'm poor. And I said, well, what do you do? He said, well, I'm a painter. I said, well, you know, it just happens that we need a painter right now. So I asked him, I said, are you a good cut man? No, I'm just a roller. And I said, okay, well, can you run an HVLP sprayer? And he said, oh, not really. I really don't know anything about that. He says, oh, but I'm a good roller. And then I kept asking him these questions. I said, have you worked with this? Have you worked with... No, not really. He said, but I'm a good roller. I said, well, you know, I need a painter that can do all kinds of things. And then I asked him a question. I said, how long have you been painting? He said, 25 years. I said, and it never dawned on you in all those years to try to improve yourself and to try to learn a new skill? Oh, but the reason why is because people won't hire him. Man, let's take some personal responsibility. The best thing that guy could have done is said, you know, the reason why I don't have any work right now is because I never expanded my horizon. I never improved my skills. I was too lazy to learn anything else. Oh, but you know, that's politically incorrect, isn't it? It's politically incorrect. They talk about all these poor girls, you know, that are teenage mothers. Well, you know, society didn't make them pregnant. They chose to do that. They made a conscious choice. You see, that's what God's trying to get us to do, is to take responsibility for our own situation. God told them, he says, the reason why you're doing this is because you guys have walked away from me. Why have all these afflictions happened? Well, sometimes because we've walked away from the Lord. Now, what's the answer to that? God gives him the answer in the verse right before it. He says, you come back to me, man. Just come back. So you messed up. See, that's one of the great things about God. He's not like us. Our patience, it's up here pretty fast, isn't it? You burn me once, you'll never do business with me again. You know, you lie. And like not too long ago, a parking lot guy came in and said, yeah, I'll do it for this much, and then changed it this much and this and that. Well, man, I hope the guy all the best. I hope he has a good business. We just don't want to do business with him because he's lied and he's changed his thing back and forth. But let me tell you something about God. I've seen him give second chances to people. I have seen Him give third chances. I've seen Him give fourth chances. I've seen Him pull people up from seemingly impossible situations. God is good. Man, He's worth coming back to. It doesn't matter if you're 70 years old and you've got 6 months left to live. It is worth it to come back to God. If you'll just realize where you are, why you are where you are, and then come back to God. But then he asks another question. He says, where be all these miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? See, a lot of people, they're waiting for a miracle. Yeah, I could use a few miracles in my life. How about you? And intervention from God. Some people misinterpret the silence of God. They misinterpret it and they think, well, because God's not here, I can't see Him, He's not evident. Where is He? Doesn't He even care about us? Have you ever thought that maybe God didn't care about you because you couldn't sense Him, you couldn't see Him, you couldn't see Him acting, you couldn't see Him moving? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Say, man, where is He? Well, that's a valid question to ask. You know, sometimes we ourselves, we can limit God. It's said that in the Bible. Look at Psalm 78:41. Psalm 78:41 says, yea, they turned back and tempted God. And it says, and limited the Holy One of Israel. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 13 in verse 58. Sorry, it takes me a long time. I should have brought my reading glasses. Matthew 13:58. I'm not getting older. That's not why it's happening. It's just... I used to laugh at people with bifocals. Man, look at that. Got them glasses all the way down on the end of their nose like that. Now I can read it. What did I say? 13:58. And He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I'm going to tell you why sometimes it seems like God's far off. You can't sense Him. Because of your attitude towards Him. You know, I'm wondering if some Christians as whiny and as antisocial as they get, man, nobody wants to be around Him. Do you ever feel like maybe God feels that way too? Just doesn't like to be around you, man. Oh, man, not him again. You know those kind of people. You just kind of roll your eyes when they're coming along, you know? And they kind of, oh, man, Lord, give me strength. And you know, the first thing out of their mouth is something whiny or complaining or this or that. Well, sometimes God is distant because of us. You know, God can do anything He wants to. God can overcome anything. But sometimes God sits back and He waits for us. You know, faith is an important thing. To believe in God and have a trust and a faith and a confidence in God, it makes a big difference. And let me ask you this too. Do you always need a pat on the back to keep going? Do you always need somebody saying good job in order to keep on doing a good job? You know what you have to do with a little kid? You have to constantly tell a little kid, oh, that's good. You know, they come running up to you with a picture, right? See my picture? Oh, that's a pretty picture. That's a good picture. And they go away for a little while and they come back up and they see something else. They say, hey, see this right here? Oh, yeah, that's really good. You know, that's great. Man, good job. You did good. But it's kind of weird to say that to a 25-year-old. You know, a 25-year-old, you expect them to take a little more responsibility for themselves, and you don't constantly have to be patting them on the back and say, hey, good job. They ought to know by that time they're supposed to be doing a good job. And we go crazy with these attaboys sometimes. I mean, I'm just about up to here with award ceremonies at school. And if you're a teacher and you're into all that in order to motivate the kids, no offense, really. But this A.B. honor roll, what is A.B. honor roll? When I was in school, it was A honor roll. You know why? Because it took some effort to make an A. But just a little bit above a C+ is a B. And you get an award for it. Or for kids that aren't into anything else, you know, and they don't do much, you know, but they do come to school and they didn't get into any fights that semester, you give them a citizenship award. And that's because they didn't get into no fights. Now, I could go on, and I'm just sitting here, and this kid, he walks down from the stage. The poor kid's a loser. He doesn't do his homework. He shows up for school, but he's got a stack of papers, and he's got perfect attendance. Perfect attendance? Man, that means that you were dumb enough to come to school when you had the flu, and that's why they have an outbreak at that school. Okay, I got all that off my chest. I'm fine now. I'm good. You don't always need an attaboy from God to keep on going. You know, it's time we get a little bit of maturity. And just because we can't see Him, just because we can't sense Him, just because we haven't seen any obvious miracles, doesn't mean we walk around in the dumps. Now, I'll tell you this about soul winning, is that it is my desire that we win souls. I know it's God's desire too. But let me tell you, I've read about people in the past where they will cry and weep and mourn and just stay like that forever. Man, to me, life's too short. My joy is not going to rest on whether somebody else gets saved or not. Man, I hope it does. I hope somebody else gets saved. But I'm telling you something. I want to praise God. I want to honor Him. Whether He gives me souls or He doesn't give me souls. Whether He gives us the revival that we're looking for or He doesn't give us the revival that we're looking for. He is still worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be honored. And Christians shouldn't be getting down on the dumps because they can't see God acting. Man, if there's sin in your life, deal with it, get it right, take care of it, and move on. But we don't always need an attaboy. Yeah, we're going to get some rewards one day, but those are coming one day. Yeah, our reward ceremony is a little bit distant. It's a little bit down in the future. How about a little maturity? That even when things aren't going quite right, you don't quite feel in the mood, you're not quite there, you don't feel God's presence, serve Him anyway. Do what you're supposed to do anyway. I talked to one man one time. I said, do you read the Bible? And he says, no. And I said, why? He says, because the last time I read the Bible, I didn't get anything out of it. Oh, man, that's great. So you give up, right? That's like saying, you know, you go to a restaurant and eat one bad meal, and that was a bad meal, so you're not going to eat anymore, right? You know, there are times, and it's not bad, there are times you're going to read the Bible, you're not going to get anything out of it. He's looking at me like, okay, where's the punchline? Okay, well, maybe you guys always get something out of the Scriptures. Because I see a lot of halos out there. What, me? But I'll be honest with you, there are times when I read my Bible, and I've read my Bible. I read it. I got into it, and I read it. You know, and I know there's been great men of God that I've read in the past that have told me, do not stop reading your Bible until you get something. So whether you read a verse and you get something, or you read a chapter, or the book of Isaiah, like Joe Benedetti used to do in his quiet time, you know, You get something. Well, you know, that's fine, but if I'm reading and then it's time to go to work, I'm sorry, you know, I got to go to work. But I don't stop reading the Bible because of that. Because there are a whole lot of other times when I do read the Bible and God is good. Oh man, He gives me just what I need in due season. And what I'm saying is do what you're supposed to do without constantly having to get affirmation from God. Be grown up. Be mature. You know, you came to church last week and it was kind of boring. Don't stop going to church. Don't stop praying because God didn't answer your prayer. Don't stop trying to win souls because the last one you tried to win didn't get saved. I'm telling you, what we've got to do is worth doing. And it's going to have its rewards. He's not going to, what is that verse Trini read this morning? He's not going to forget a cup of cold water given in the name of a disciple. He's not going to forget those things. Let's go back to the book of Judges. In verse 14 it says, "The Lord looked on him and said, 'Go in thy might and save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?'" That's pretty interesting. He says, where are all the miracles? And he's talking to God. Verse 15, "And he said, 'O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel?'" And this is what I call the what, me question. Because you see, it's up to us to solve our problems. If we're not right with God, nobody else is going to get right for us. You see, we've got to take responsibility for ourselves, and we have to do what we can do to make sure things are right with God. I remember somebody came in one time and they said, "Brother Brian," I said, "What?" He says, "The middle toilet's clogged up, it's overflowing." And I said, "No problem." I said, "The plunger's in the last stall." And the brother just kept standing there. I said, "The plunger's in the last stall." And he just kept standing there. I said, "Oh, you wanted me to go do it?" I said, "Go plunge the toilet." He says, "No, I don't think so." Made me mad. I went and got the plunger, you know. I plunged the toilet, got the poop off my shoes, you know, cleaned everything up. Everything was good. But I was kind of a little resentful. You know, it irritates me sometimes that people that have the gift to be able to pick out problems, but no will to do anything about it. Oh, it's fine. You know, come tell me it's time to go plunge. You know, truth is, I don't mind plunging toilets. I'm not above that. I am honored to be able to plunge the toilet of the saints of God. But sure would have been nice if he would have said, "Oh, yeah, no problem," you know. How refreshing is it to get somebody that's willing to be part of the solution? Amen. Oh, there's all kinds. It's an easy thing to make complaints, isn't it? It's an easy thing to go around and snipe and complain and man, your pastors are backslidden and your meetings are dull and this and that. And then to go around and try to do something about it. You know, for every time you criticize a preacher, have you been down on your knees praying for that same preacher? And saying, "Oh God, help him never to say that again from the pulpit, Lord." Believe me, we need those prayers too. But what? Me? You see, because God's given him a solution here. He says, "Man, Gideon, I'm glad you brought it up. Because I'm going to use you to fight the Midianites and bring them to their knees." And he's like, "What, me?" You know, and he starts looking at his own resource and he starts looking at maybe his weaknesses and all these things. Let me tell you something. You and God are a majority. You don't need 1,000 people behind you backing you up. Man, if you've got God, and we've got example after example after example in the Bible of that, that one poor old soul getting out and he's looking around and he's with the prophet of God and he says, "Man, look at all them soldiers around us." And the prophet just kind of rolls his eyes and opens and prays to the Lord and says, "Lord, open his eyes that he can see." And so he opens the man's eyes. And the guy sees all kinds of chariots and stuff around him.
You know, when I look at that, when I hear that story, it just sends chills down my spine. You know, I'm thinking, man. And we know from the Bible that there is an unseen warfare going on. Remember when Daniel bowed and he got on his knees and began praying and God dispatched an angel and there was a wicked angel that came up against the angel that God dispatched and they were there for 21 days fighting and then another angel came and helped him so that he could finish his message? I mean, that's not fairy tale stuff. That's real stuff going on as a result of someone praying. Let me tell you, we can be part of the solution. We don't have to whine and complain and murmur and grope about all these things and all these problems. Man, God wants you to be part of the solution. So let me tell you something. If you've got problems, then you get in there, you figure out where it's coming from, and then you roll up your sleeves and ask God's help and get busy getting things done. Oh man, I'm just so lazy and I just can't, you know, seem to get up and read the scriptures and I just... Well, man, do something about it. Be part of the solution. Man, you don't know enough about the Word of God? Find out more. Man, get into it. Study it more. Just don't whine and complain. Don't say, what, me? What Gideon needed to know is that all he needed was God. What does it say there in the book of Romans in chapter 8? It says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And believe me, there are some things when Gideon looked after hiding out and threshing wheat behind the winepress so that the Midianites wouldn't find him, after having experienced all of the oppression of the Midianites, it might have seemed an impossible task for him to defeat the Midianites. But you see, to God, the Midianites were not a problem at all. I understand you've got some formidable things to face. Some of you have got trouble in your finances. Some of you guys have got trouble in your relationships. Some of you guys have physical troubles, some mental troubles, troubles at work, all kinds of challenges and things. But listen, you and God, you're a majority. Isn't just a pep talk either. Isn't one of these things where we just get up and say, rah, 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 we can do it. God's serious about this. You want to get closer to Him, He'll help you do it. You want to become more effective for Him, He'll help you do it. You want to honor Him in everything that you do, then He'll help you do it. He'll be there for you. He's not going to back down. He said and already gave the promise that He would never leave thee and He would never forsake thee. So the questions you have, you take them to the Lord. But then do what Gideon did, because if we had time, we could go through and we could trace himself, because we find that not too long from now, he's found worshiping and he's found serving. God help everyone in this room to have the courage, the stamina, the guts, the resolve, the fortitude, whatever you want to say, I'm going to serve God no matter what. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless your word. Lord, we all need you so many different ways. We need your help. We need your strength. Lord, we want to do whatever it takes to overcome our problems, our oppositions, our afflictions. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us and help us to do it so that we could turn around and glorify your name and live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.